Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. We're going to be ranking a game we nominated for ourselves, Oregon Trail Deluxe.
Basically, your whole goal is to get from Missouri to Oregon.
If you get to the end, it doesn't matter how much of your family dies as long as you're there, right?
Well, it actually does matter if you're playing for score, because having everyone is about 2,000 points.
It's 1992, I'm in the computer lab at my school. What I'm playing for is to not be reading or doing anything else. So I'm playing, for that. And then also you get to leave funny tombstones when your kids die. So that's like the real reward of the game, is when your kid dies of dysentery, you get to say like, Boogerman died of dysentery.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Yeah. Yeah. No. For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
I don't know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. You knew we had to do it, and we're going to do it. We're doing it. It's Super Mario World. It was nominated by @CrowTRobot. Wow. The CrowTRobot nominating the game.
Thankfully, I like Tarm Servo more, so I'm not going to be too bothered when they don't like me after this.
No, I'm Crow all the way. Crow. It was developed by Nintendo EAD, published by Nintendo, and it was first released on November 21st, 1990 in Japan for the Super Famicom, or as we call it in the States, the Super Nintendo. Bonus info there. If you didn't know that. Yeah.
So, working for you must be a drag when the year-end bonus comes around. Cripes.
Yeah.
Here's your bonus.
Here's your bonus. It's an envelope. It's got a stamp on it.
In Japan, it's called the Famicom. That's your bonus.
There you go.
Get a real job.
All right.
I was only half listening. Did you say the release date just then?
Yeah, November 21st, 1990 in Japan.
Yeah. Do you know what's interesting? Not about that. About the American release date. Nobody can figure out when it actually came out. The release dates on the internet are totally not 100% accurate, even though they claim to be. There is a long-running thread where the people on it, one of the retro forums, not ours, are like, hey, can anyone actually verify that this game was sold before this date? And they could not. It's something like August 20th. Nobody can pin the game down as coming out before then. Although, everyone on the internet listed as about August 13th, but there is literally no evidence it came out then. So
yeah, you're just kind of taking people's word for it. I mean, it's
they go on the internet, they just make claims, extraordinarily claims, with no evidence.
Yeah, we're about to rank it like the
No scientific accuracy at all. That thing that we're all about.
It's really, it's really sad. I really wish people would take their stuff as seriously as we take ours. So Super Mario World, if you don't know, is about a guy named Mario and his brother Luigi, who in some versions of the game is a little bit different. In other versions of the game, he's exactly the same.
The ones where he's different are better.
Yes, it's true. So this game is about Mario, who must rescue the Princess Toadstool, as she was known at the time, from the... Was he still known as King Koopa in this time period?
I think this is where he got officially started being
Yeah, I think
Bowser.
He's Bowser in this one.
Yeah, because how could you forget that? When you go to his castle in this game, it literally has
Bowser's castle.
Yeah, Bowser's castle. So, and it's also got his kids. They're back, right?
The Koopalings are not his children.
They're not his kids.
No one knew that back then. Because
Baby Bowser, or Bowser Jr. is the child of Bowser.
But not in
the Koopalings are like nieces and nephews or something.
Yeah, it's
until my Miyamoto changes his mind again.
By the way,
Bowser
I'm
has a really interesting family. Bowser's just really interesting in general.
I think Nintendo have gone out of their way to be like, wait, do we have to admit that Bowser had sex? Hold on, everyone. I don't think we should.
They did an entire game recently where Bowser's trying to get married to Princess Peach. So
I mean, when is he not?
That's the first time, as far as I
know. Give a lizard a chance. Come on.
You leave Bob out of this.
Hey.
No. No, we
episode
not.
Is terrible. I did shout it before, but we didn't introduce ourselves again.
Let's introduce ourselves. Who's here to talk about whatever this game was?
I'm Bob Nader.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Morton on the Wind.
And right, I'm Morton Koopa Jr.
Can I say something real quick? I'm going to be really fighting for this game, because this game was like literally like one of the first console games I ever had. And I must have been like 2 or so when I started playing this game. So it does mean a lot to me. So
and
I will,
and it means nothing to me. So we can have all the fist fights.
Okay, so it's hard to explain. Like, what does this game bring to the 2D classic Mario series that wasn't there before? And I think it's actually more than you might expect. It's more than just Yoshi.
I would say the really big change is just how much bigger this game is, because the world map is a lot bigger. Like, the levels are generally way larger in general. There's more secrets. There's more power-ups.
Way more secrets.
I mean, that's the real thing, is this one, finally, the game was able to go from essentially pretty much linear to being able to backtrack. That's right. The thing that is changed.
Well, I mean, the classic Japanese Super Mario Bros. 2 allowed you to backtrack, just not in the way you wanted to. When you get to the warp zone, and it's like, guess he's going back to World 1. You are...
As far as credits for this game are concerned, I will give the credit that this actually had the ability to replay levels you had played voluntarily, and there was a save system so you could actually save your progress. That's about where my merits for this game end.
A bit of an odd save system, right? They still wanted to maintain the you have to beat a chunk of the game system.
Yeah, well,
you can only
like
save
that
when you've completed a ghost house or completed a castle, and you can only complete the castles once.
And it's still like that with, with the new Super Mario Brothers series. They still do that, which I appreciate, because it does make you play the game a little bit differently. Except in those games, like, you rack up like 70 to 80 lives within like a few plays. So
your lives. That's what it does.
No,
not do.
It does not.
I do know that 3D Land and 3D World, you can just save whenever. So that's not like a completely standard
the 3D
thing.
3D ones are different. We're talking about the ultimate 2D Mario game.
That's Mario 3. Piss off.
Okay, so this is a big issue. But before we get to that debate, which we will have to have, and we will decide it
for it.
We will decide it, and it will be decided forever scientifically.
You're going to bring out your super combo of the coin riding the slinky, aren't you?
It has to happen sometime. And only I can, it's a responsibility only I can bear. Let's put it that way. So like the thing about Super Mario World, right? It's much, much bigger than Super Mario 3. And Super Mario 3 was an incredible game when it came out. Like that's the one that personally, like, that's probably my favorite 2D Mario, just because of, like, just the memories, children. It's so hard to compare what that was. Also, like, the hardware, like, so just getting that much stuff out of the NES was incredible at the time. But I think objectively, this game just brings so much more new stuff. It's a little bit more focused too, though, to be fair. Like, it doesn't have, like, you know, Super Mario Brothers 3 had, like, all the different suits and all that stuff, but I don't feel like they really factored into the game
special secret, like, power-ups. They weren't all over the place. Like, you had to go out of your way to earn those damn things.
Yeah, but you could. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you've got of course, the raccoon, which could fly for some reason, which is crazy. And then you've got, like, the Hammer Brothers suit, frog suit. Okay, go ahead.
My thing is, I feel like maybe Super Mario World has somewhat less stuff, but it makes just much better use of what it does have.
There's, I agree. Like,
you have, like, Kuribo shoot for, like, what, one level in Super Mario Bros. 3?
I believe, yes.
Yeah. I mean, this one, the different parts of the game essentially are... they're just remixes of previous things in the game with potentially a new thing added into the mix. Like, that's the way, like, the game sort of works. The intro level introduces a lot of the things that are in the game, and then it just keeps remixing them. It keeps adding occasionally just a new twist or two.
You say intro level, there's two levels to pick from the outset, and unless you're actually paying attention to which level is level one and which one is level two, which, if you're like me, when you first played, you're not paying attention because you just want to play one of them, it's quite possible that your intro level is not the first one, quote-unquote.
Doesn't matter. They knew that.
I do think it's like a little bit interesting and maybe a bit of a mistake that they let you go left instead of right. Although, if you had... This game
is the way you're supposed to go. That is the first level.
What, the one with the bullets?
Yes.
I don't really consider that the first level. I know the game...
I don't either, but that is the one that's...
The game can tell you whatever it wants, but because that... If you go to the right, it has all of the speaker boxes that explain to you how to play the game. So I refuse to consider the level that's full of giant bullets and enemies that are tricky to kill the first level. That's a terrible idea. I mean,
the game expects you to go through it the way that... Look, all right, it's got a map.
You look at the castle and you go, oh, that's the way I should be going. And then they set you down that way, even though it's level two. For some,
doesn't matter. Like, look, what's important about this game is that, like, what it adds is, like, the visible checkpoints, which I think is huge for Mario, because
it really does embiggen you when you pass through them,
right? Which is a big deal. It's still a part of the 2D Mario games. The other thing, I mean, it adds Yoshi. Use Yoshi to swallow different kinds of turtles, and the different shells have different effects. I mean, that's
actually
pretty cool.
He just gargles them. If you swallow them, you don't get the power.
Yep. Not swallow them, but you put them in your mouth and then you spit them out. Okay, Cal. All right.
Yeah, I'm just saying, he does. If he swallows them, you don't get any power. Okay.
I think Yoshi's a pretty cool idea. He's like all the Super Mario Bros. 3 suits in one, so you feel a lot more powerful with him. I would say
it's true, and he gives you an extra hit too, right? Or as many extra hits as you can get if you keep catching him after he.
He's a Sonic ring that you have to ride that makes your hitbox larger.
And it was before Sonic, by the way.
Yeah.
True, 100% true. Historically accurate. 100% true, yeah.
It's only, so, like, what, like, there's a month in it? It's not a
matter.
Month in it. That's...
No. They knew that, like, it's famous. Like, they played, like, they knew that when they were putting out Sonic that it was going to be competing with this, but it was already out. Like, they were playing the game as they were developing Sonic the Hedgehog.
Is that right? I thought this one was November.
They got it from Japan, yeah. They got it...
No. Wait, November... Wasn't this November 1990 and Sonic was December 1990? Am I getting this wrong?
Maybe you're right, but it's maybe I'm thinking of just the marketing people maybe were playing it and deciding how to market Sonic.
Yeah, these two came out.
That makes more sense, yeah, but... Okay, so disregard everything I just said. Although my version of history might be wrong, but it's more entertaining.
What you got to remember, anyone listening, is that there are literally like at least three different timelines here. There is, if you were in Japan if you were in America, and kind of if you were in any of these sort of Euro-Australia sort of locations, like...
Nah, nobody cares about those. So, the it's got the cape, which is way better implemented, I think, than
I hate the cape. The I never figured thing. Out how to use the damn cape and actually fly
the cape
the
takes
damn
more
thing
actual
for, like,
effort
years.
To use.
It does, but it's...
And the game doesn't actually tell you how to use it correctly.
It
the game
does
tell you, it's just the worst way to tell you ever. In the first stage where you really get the cape, one of the freaking pipes takes you to the cape tutorial. I'm not right. kidding.
It does.
Like, I know it, the area you're talking about. Fine. I don't remember it having, like, a speaker box. Am I wrong about that?
There's a speaker box, I think, that mentions
it. It kind of teaches you, but you have to do it. You have to learn by trying. And the game recognizes that, hey, you know, you're going to try it. Like, it gives you, like, a lot of space. It assumes you played Super Mario Bros. 3. And
that's actually something I wanted to bring up. This game really leans heavily on you've played other Super Marios, which I will say at the time is an extremely safe bet. Like, this is a very safe bet. You've probably played
best-selling
one of
Super
Marios.
I mean, I never played a Mario game before that one, and I did okay.
You said you were 2 years old. That doesn't count.
Fair.
But also... Like, but, you're talking, like, pop culture icon, in a sense. Like, even if you had never played the game yourself, you had seen the game, someone had told you about it or something, unless you were, like, two. Like, there was...
I mean, it's hard to explain how huge Mario was at this time, because never more huge.
Well, I want to say, like, I actually had something for how huge it was, and it's simply that the game before this one, Super Mario 3, had an entire movie made to basically say, here is Super Mario 3, it's coming out. Like... That was a whole full movie.
Starring Fred Savage.
That was just like, here is a little bit of footage from Super Mario 3 just to get you hype for it. And that was the whole movie, essentially.
You guys know, like, years ago, I wrote, like, it wasn't quite a spec script. It was more like a, I don't know what you call it. Like a,
I don't even know what a spec script is supposed to be.
A spec script would be like a script for a movie, or usually it's more likely a TV show, but it's like for a show that exists, but it's a script that's never supposed to be made. It's more like it's like a writing sample for people who are writers. Mm. But I didn't write an entire script. I wrote like a script outline or something for a real-time Wizard sequel, meaning it took place like actually 30 years after the original Wizard. And it ended with what's the kid's name?
I don't...
Not Brett Savage, his little
brother. Yeah, the one who says California a lot.
Corey,
California,
is that his name?
That kid and Tobey Maguire, like, just holding hands on an airplane, flying to freedom and love. Tobey Maguire was in the original Wizard. So he was one of the Power Glove kids, like, cronies. He doesn't have any lines. But I think, like... The movie would have been awesome, and everybody should want to see it. And
I kind of want to see that script now.
I got to find it. Like, it's not a complete script at all. It's basically like three or four scenes with dialogue, and then everything else is just like filled in. Like, here's what happens in between. But I tried really, really hard.
And then someone's supposed to pay you to write the rest of it, maybe. Like
that's the idea. Is like, if anybody ever is like, I need to find somebody who can write me a Wizard sequel, I'm like, I'm your man. you get me Fred Savage, Tobey Maguire, and the kid who played the California kid. You look at what he looks like now; he is hot. Like he is a attractive man. Like he looks like a he could be selling underwear and like a catalog back in the days when catalogs still exist. So like he is good looking.
Okay, so we're gonna I set this one up. But yeah, this game was freaking huge, right? Like that was
so it's gigantic. It's got so many things. It's got the Star Road. It's got all the secrets. It's got
the special levels that no one actually likes.
But I loved them because it was like by the time I got to that area, I was like, oh, this is really challenging. But I'd already beaten the game. It's got the best at that point, easily the best final boss fight in the Mario series, and probably still to this day.
I hate that boss fight so much. I didn't understand what the hell I was supposed to do for months.
Well, okay, so you were what, 2 years old, 3 years old? Like
I'm older than Bob, jackass.
It's true.
I was like 8 or something when I played it, maybe 7, 6, something in that range.
look, we're not responsible for that. The game was for people who had played other Mario games, and it worked just fine.
Honestly, this game's surprisingly tricky in places. Like,
it's harder than Mario 3.
Like, stumbling back into this one, because I played this one when I was younger, and I got through probably the whole game. I don't recall exactly the context of how far I got, but when I played this again, because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good at video games, this isn't going to be a big deal. And then there were several levels where I'm like, god damn, this is actually frustratingly hard, where it's just kind of like, there's a lot of, like, split-second memorization stuff, like, you've got to kind of... Mario's a little slippery, that's kind of always how he's controlled, like, just a little bit of, like, slide and how he moves. And then just like, oh, you just gotta jump over this guy, slide a little bit, make sure you rebalance yourself into the correct spot, then there's gonna be a guy who's gonna come in, you gotta leap over that guy, and it's like, if you mess up at any point, because this game is not a Sonic-style game and it's not a game which has a health bar, you then just die, like, straight up, and then you go back to the start or the checkpoint. I was like, huh. That's actually really difficult in places, because if you don't do it perfectly, you actually die a lot.
And I'm having a hard time remembering the spot that you're talking about. I don't remember anything like
it's that usually
specific in the game outside of the special levels.
There's usually like a lot of the stages actually take place with like basically a giant bottomless pit underneath it that kills you instantly. Yeah. Like a lot of the stages do that. It's
yeah, I feel like that's a crutch that the game leans on for its difficulty.
Because, yeah, like, you know, this is, like, there's the stages where you've got to traverse platforms, there's floating enemies, and there's those little, like, black bastards that just spin around, tiles, and if you touch them, you
get, fuzzies.
Like, hurt. Yeah, those guys are assholes. I hate them.
Those guys, they suck. I mean, the game has a lot of, it's weird. It feels like, in a way, like, I don't know why, but for some reason, Super Mario Bros. 3 feels like a ROM hack of Super Mario World, and I don't know why that is, but it just does. What?
I'm over here not understanding how you are coming to these conclusions.
Yeah, even I have to admit that's a bit strange to hear.
It's the reason why is because Super Mario Bros. 3 just is just a weirder, kind of wilder game. Like, it has stuff in it, like we said, that just seems to go nowhere. Like the, you know, Tanuki suit, which is in like two or three levels, and the Kuriba shoe, which is in one level, and the sun that attacks you, which is in one level. It just feels like there's,
well, that one's got,
and the stages are way shorter too. They're way,
the sun's in more than one level, but yeah, your point on that one stands.
There's more than one. I didn't remember. I only remember the one, but, I remember just like the stages are really short when you play it now. It's got like I said, like in a lot of ways, like Super Mario Bros. 3 is like the real innovator, but this is a game it's much more like a masterclass in 2D platforming up to that point. It just has a polish to it.
Up to that point, which is actually one of the things that I'm not super thrilled with this one, is that it does feel very NES. It feels very 80s refined. It doesn't kind of feel, because obviously it came out in 1990, but
I will
it doesn't
say,
feel like it's trailblazing in any way. It just feels like we're getting comfortable with what we used to do, so here's our kind of summary of what we made, in a way.
Yeah, here's us playing it safe.
Yeah. I will say that it does kind of feel like an NES game that was like halfway on the NES and the other half was made for the Super Nintendo. If that makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. There were things that only the Super Nintendo was going to be able to do, like the gigantic sprites.
I love the this is definitely, I remember this distinctively from when I was a kid and played this thing, and I loaded up right, and when you go into one of the I don't know, I call them Boo Mansions, they're like ghost houses or whatever.
Yeah, ghost house.
But you go into one, and then you see all the little Boo sprites, and you're like, oh no, the ghost. And then there's a giant ass one that was, yeah. Whoa!
Damn. The transparency, like little fog effects too, were really cool. But I think what really makes this game stand out in the Mario series and as just for its time period is just the quality of the level design. I feel like the level design was very, very polished in this game. In a way,
it definitely has an opinion about what it wants you to do. It kind of only really gives you one exact route through the
but
level.
that's Mario. That's not, this isn't Sonic the Hedgehog where it's like some gigantic level and you can go up in the
top. Yeah, which
top
is fantastic
state, which is,
I feel liberated in the freedom of exploration. In this game, it's like, did you jump? No, you're dead. Oh, did you kick the shell? No, you're dead.
I got Sonic Mania for Christmas. It's I was like, I'm gonna give Sonic one more chance. You've got one more chance. Which is like, if there's a slogan for Sonic the Hedgehog as a character in as a game series, it's, you've got one more chance, Sonic, one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance. That's what we're always saying, right? It's really good. Like, it's got remixed original stages. It does make me feel like I get why, like, a good Sonic, you know, classic Sonic style, you know, game, like, makes you feel like, I remember why this was fun. Like, I remember what was fun about this, but the wide openness of the stages does not strike me as a huge benefit. Like, every stage could do with like one less path through.
Well, see, this is something, you know, that actually kind of comes up when I look at this game, specifically this one, because it is this refinement of this kind of thing and doesn't have as much of the weird experimental stuff, is that I'm like, wow, if you mess up, you're dead. And to me, that's like, that is bad, because I play more of the Sonic style games where it's like, oh, you mess up, you just fall to the lower path and you keep going.
It takes a lot longer in Sonic to learn what you're supposed to do.
This game really likes its crush you traps, by the way.
I do want to say one thing about the level design in this game. I feel like there's a lot of levels just like way too much empty space going on that's not really used very well.
It's more space too. I think of it as in Super Mario World, I feel like the game is trying to get you to like kind of take a running leap at the challenges in a lot of ways. Like, it kind of, I think they were designed knowing that players who were really used to Super Mario Brothers, especially the, you know, 1, 2, and 3 in Japan. It's like people still played those games very, very fast. You know what I mean? I think they kind of, and I do see this as a weakness of Super Mario World. I agree with you, Bob. It's like the levels are a little bit too elongated in a way. But I feel like that was a concession to what they felt like was the dominant play style at the time. And in a way, it's still the dominant play style for these games. I think that, like, they're still very popular speedrunning games for that reason.
Well, it's because they are games that have, as I said, it's got one perfect line through it. So for a speedrunner, right, that's cool.
With Super Mario World, the reason why that works with Super Mario World is because there's so many different stages. It's just got so much more content. With Super Mario Bros. 3, I feel like the stages are so short, it doesn't quite work as well. Although I personally, we haven't ranked Super Mario Bros. 3. I would probably rank it above Super Mario World. But I'm just saying that Super Mario World, I think, is the best introduction you could think of to classic 2D Mario besides the original. The original is always going to be the best. Yeah,
it's kind of like if you're taking like SNES and before, I would say that's pretty substantial. True. Obviously, they've gone through and made a whole ass ton of new Super Mario type games, which are ostensibly kind of the same
re-released, like Super Mario Bros. Wii U Deluxe just came out, not for the Wii U.
There's going to be like, it's almost an apology tour for the Wii U. Like, every damn Wii U game is going to come out.
It's
on
so
Switch.
Crazy that they kept Wii U in the title as if to remind you of this. Remember this thing you didn't get?
Yeah, like, now's your chance to like, play this one.
Here's one of the three games for that thing you didn't get that you really wanted to get that thing so you could play it. You know, it's like, but they're doing it the right way. I just wish they would have called it something different because it's so weird. New Super Mario Bros. Wii U Deluxe.
I'm really sad they didn't call it, like, Super Smash Bros. Wii U Ultimate on the Switch. That would have been...
yeah, that would be great. Remember they should have called it Super Smash Bros. Wii U for 3DS.
I wish Nintendo would do them more often, because I just really miss when every game ended with 64 or started with Super.
I mean, they're still trying.
Super Mario World is weird, because they already called Mario Super Mario. It should be called Super Mario World, by the way. That's my
Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario World. Yeah. Where do we want to rank this?
I'm on an actual Mario Brothers sequel while we're at it.
So I've been thinking about how to rank this for a while, and I'm kind of betraying my child self here, but I feel like I honestly could not put this above Sonic 3.
Why?
Does it better?
The thing is, we never ranked the original Sonic. And I feel like if I really had to pick, I would put the original Sonic over this game.
The original classic Sonic the Hedgehog. I can't quite agree, but I would put it very, very close because I do think that game had a huge influence.
Number 20.
Yeah, like, between this one and Sonic Anything, my real... Obviously, you know I prefer Sonic, but the main thing is that, to me, Sonic is more of an innovator compared to this game, which is just more of a... It's more of the same in a way that's probably good, it's definitely... For the 16-bit era, Sonic was kind of closer to a defining release for games of that era.
Sonic the Hedgehog is the triumph of that game is that the original is that it was like, here's what we can do. Let's build a game around this, which is exactly what Super Mario Brothers was, right? Here's what we can do. Let's build a game around this. And that's what makes it really special.
Here's the thing, okay? Super Mario World is like the fourth attempt to build on an established formula. And Sonic is the first attempt of doing something entirely new to break away from that formula as hard as it could.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say that...
It's not quite as hard as, but yeah, like, I think...
I think their point was that it's like, they were clever enough of game designers to realize, we can do Mario, but we can do it in a way that's not really going to look like Mario. We can have stages that have, rather than having more... worlds like Super Mario Brothers 3 style, where there's like world after world after world, we can have fewer, but we can have more ways through them. That way different, you know, players as they get better can take different paths through the game. It's a very, I mean, I think that way, that kind of concept of level design is the one that won in the end, just because of what video games ended up becoming. I do think that Sonic the Hedgehog, like, I would rank the original better, you know, higher than Super Mario World, wherever we're going to end up putting it. But it's not on the list yet because nobody's nominated it.
I mean, I picked Sonic 3 way back when because it was, like, the most polished, best version of that concept, I would say.
My main problem with the later Sonic games is I don't feel like they did improve enough on the original to justify themselves as, like... that level of classic. And when you look at, you know, especially every time they, after Sonic 3, every time they went back to the 2D Sonics, it was just like they had lost that hemisphere of their brain. They couldn't do it again. And
it did take a considerable effort to get back to it.
It really did. And again, like Sonic Mania, I really like, but it was made by like, Genesis Sonic ROM hackers and stuff like that, like people who just make that kind of game now.
I will throw out that they did have heavy conversations with like former Sonic Team and Sonic Team people. So
they had the Sonic guy say like, here's what you should do. And his biggest suggestion, by the way, was you should remix classic Sonic levels. Not that innovative, to be honest. Yeah. Like I would have preferred if they just would have done the like new levels, but yeah.
I don't think it's fair to call Sonic Mania a fan game because there was just too much involvement from the people who actually worked on Sonic.
Yeah, but they also worked on other 2D Sonic games that suck way harder than Sonic Mania, which is actually a very good game. It's a very solid.
I do know we're getting
Sonic
off topic
game. But yeah,
I
anyway,
jump out.
Super Mario World should be the best game on the list. It should go right underneath whatever, I don't know, King James Bible for Game Boy or whatever the top list.
This game whatever. With its awful music. I hate this game's music.
Oh, I definitely like this game's music.
So
this game's music is so damn forgettable. The only music that I can ever remember without stopping to think about it incredibly long is like the little bonus room music, and that's it.
Under number 20, does that work for people?
Let's see where that is. Okay, so going up. By the way,
Under
I remember
Earthbound
every
at the
song
very least.
In this game easily.
I sometimes go to like... There's like a couple of songs in here that I sometimes like pop into my head, but they're more earworms than songs that I like.
Yeah.
It's like the jingle starts playing in my head and I'm like, oh no. I guess we're doing that today then. Yeah, I like the I like how spooky the Boo Houses music is. I think that's actually pretty cool. That's my favorite track in this, even though I barely.
Well, every song in the game is kind of like the same song, right?
I mean, this one really was just like it was basically like, hey, listen to our sampled instruments. That was literally it. It worked.
But they had that they had the main tune and then they changed it dramatically for different environments, right?
Yeah, it slows down in some like areas and it speeds up and has
okay, to get back on track. How about this? Below Silent Hill 2.
Okay.
Below Final Fantasy 6.
I would put it I would put it above I would put it above. I would put it above Devil May Cry, below Smash Bros. Melee.
I'll accept it.
And for that matter, that's two. Below Chrono Trigger, for that matter. I don't even like Chrono Trigger, but I think it's a more interesting game at the very least.
I think so, it Cal. Would literally break Xerxes' brain if we put it below Crash Team Racing. Like, I think that he would just would. Delete this whole episode and make us do it again.
It would end the podcast, is what it would be. It would be over.
Be just like
done.
The episode would go live and it would just be Xerxes. It's going at number 22. Thank you.
You'll know that's where they put it because this episode would end right now and they'd just hear me going, it goes above.
Like I said, at the very least, FF6 is a way better game and way more interesting.
I don't know about that, but I mean, we're really haggling over...
I would say it's almost similar in that it's kind of a refine and, you know, it's really like, this is where we're going with this genre, lock it in for them. Like, that's kind of Final Fantasy VI. It has the advantage of coming out later in the system, so it's pushing it a lot harder. This one was a launch title, and it feels a tiny bit rushed. There was only, like, 15, 16 people who actually worked on this one, which is interesting.
It was not rushed. They really put a lot of time
into it. It's a launch title that I... don't really feel really lives up to the intent of let's show off what this can do. It's like, okay, we've got some large sprites and a couple other tricks.
Well, see, I think
then you
that...
also, and then you go look over at F-Zero and it's like, hey, yeah. Look at this.
Like, to me, that was actually what they were doing, is they didn't want to make this one gimmicky. They wanted to make this one as, like, comfortably refined and as approachable.
They were trying to sell the Super Nintendo to people who really wanted to play the next Mario game, and they made a really... like
boring
damn
Mario
great
game.
Mario anyway, game. Like,
do we have an agreement here?
This is okay, a pack-in, by the way. I don't know if we used that exact term, but
we
this
should.
Game
yeah, it
was
is a pack-in.
Was a
pack-in. A pack-in.
No one actually bought the game itself.
Well, you could later, but yeah. So the
my preferred pack-in was Super Mario All Stars.
Going once.
Going, but what? Yeah, I say so. That's where
this
I put
is
it.
Not better than Earthbound. It isn't.
I'm sorry, you're outvoted here.
I didn't vote anything.
Who says, yeah, where's Cal put it? I'm still saying below Melee, above Devil May Cry.
I probably prefer Devil May Cry. I mean, that's...
Okay, so do you want to put it below Devil May Cry, above Earthbound?
Yeah, I mean, I actually can't weigh in with Earthbound because it's just not a game that I have any strong opinions for.
Word, does that sound good to you?
Say what?
A word wants to put it lower. Word would say below Earthbound, above... Silent Hill 2.
I believe we're
anything.
Putting it below Final Fantasy VI, so that's
I'm where. Really good between Devil May Cry and Earthbound.
This is not
Bob. Bob's.
Let's give Ward some credit though. Like, she made good points about there are kind of like things about this game that are not as ambitious as you'd think they could be. And Earthbound, if nothing else, it's like it's the best in a series of three games. I don't know, like.
So can I mention something? Because I promised our regular dude Tax Albear that I would mention the Lunar Magic thing for this game, which is the tool that people use to make stages for this game, and it spawned an enormous sort of fandom of people that remix and make new stages, and you know all these like super hard variations and. Speedrun levels and stuff, and this is a huge project.
It is. It has had a huge reach in the ROM hacking community,
which I think is like a really interesting thing. Like, it's not quite this game, but it kind of spawns out of something that this game did.
I mean, Super Mario Maker basically exists because of like Kaizo, Super Mario World, and all that stuff. So,
all right, so we got a place.
Yeah, let's put it. We had at least two votes for between Earthbound and Devil May Cry, right?
Yes.
And where do we put it way lower? And where would Cal put it?
I just said below Devil May Cry.
Okay, so three. That's where it goes. It's the new 23. It's below Devil May Cry, above Earthbound. So long, everybody. Please send all your hate mail to... no, just kidding. Don't send us
at
hate
lurking
mail.
Lurking Wind. I'll say it.
No, it's not your fault. I think more people agree with you than anybody, probably, at this point.
Most of the staff around here do, yeah.
Yeah, but...
like, you and Bob are, like, the only ones that actually like this game.
Too bad.
It's below Sonic and 3 and Knuckles. That's all I really...
That's true.
See.
That's huge for me. You guys have no idea
Sonic,
how much
you
that
did
hurts
it.
Me. You have no idea how much that hurts me. But don't worry.
Finally
we'll be doing...
Sonic. We finally won, buddy.
I put in Sonic Advance as one of the bonus games coming up. So,
oh, you're just doing that just to make me mad.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. I'm doing it to make everybody mad, except for me.
I'm already mad. Ugh.
So long, suckers. It's been great.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.